Si Mohamed applaudit, ça va.
Merci beaucoup. Thank you very much, Valérie. We do this in English or
okay,
French.
Sure.
Oh, we can
English
do it in French, actually.
English
there are translators,
fine.
Right?
Okay, as you want.
Pas English? Aujourd'hui.
So,
vraiment dommage.
Ali will translate for Mohamed. Yeah, okay.
Donc, en anglais.
Okay.
Merci beaucoup pour ce très joli film. Oh, pardon, excusez-moi. Thank you very much for this very beautiful film. And it's a really very, very nice portrait of Abderrahmane. And it's so wonderful to have it here because, first of all, for those of you who were not here or earlier today, we have talked about the difficulty of certain graduates from the GEIC to sort of revisit their time and life in Soviet Russia during their studies at the film school. And one of the, Abderrahmane was one of those who really had serious difficulties in sort of going back. And I think there is a little passage in your film also where he, I mean, it's visible and sensible. But what I like about it, despite this difficulty to sort of deal with the time of the trainee about how he learned the craft of filmmaking, he has this generosity of, you know, okay, I don't want to go there, I don't want to have to talk about it because it's too painful for me for many, many reasons, but I give you this. You can do this, you can go there, you can meet and this and that person. So I think it's quite remarkable.
Well, in fact, that's also mise en scène, you know. But now I went to Moscow on location scouting 6 months before I shot. And initially, the doors were quite open. Anybody who does research about the topic of this this event has met Tatiana, who is the woman at GEIC who is like in charge of international students. So initially I was quite amazed, first because Abderrahmane always talks like autodidact, like he hasn't watched any movies and he doesn't know anything and it's just by chance and that's it, you know. And then I went there and I looked at his file and I saw he was so good at school, you know, he was like scoring like 95% on anything, but it was like, he acts like he was a bad student, and that was nice. He's always playing tricks like this, like it's like a game, you know, like, okay, I give you an insight, and then you see, and then depending on how you will take it as a gift, then things will continue, and it's a relationship like this. It's like making a film about a director is like cutting the hair of a hairdresser. It's a strange exercise. Anyway, and so when I went to GEIC, I met the actual head of directing, the directing department, and I go to his office and I see pictures of Eisenstein, Godard, Tarkovsky, Hitchcock, etc. And then I see the drawing of a worm. And I say, oh, why is there a drawing of a worm? And he say, that's the first year student. It's for them. I say, what is it? He say, you see the complexity of the simplest alive organism. And then imagine a human being. And that's really GEIC. I mean, everybody says GEIC's changed and he's not so good anymore. But there's a spirit that's still there. And so I went to GEIC, met Tatiana, then met Tanya, who is the woman in charge of the library. And the library was a very precious place for foreign students, especially French-speaking African students. because that's where they could read the reviews of Cahiers du Cinéma and what was happening. And I believe the fact that Suleiman Cissé was selected in Cannes with Yelen and had studied there, and reading about fellow filmmakers also encouraged them. But to go back on my feet to your question, yes, Abderrahman will never close a door. There's freedom. And if I'm interested in that Moscow experience, it's free for me to go. And if it's painful for him, I would never insist. That's our relationship.
I mean, Osama was saying yesterday that in his experience as a student at the film school, and that his mentor, Talankin, was telling him that everything is first, that directing is first, light mm-hmm. is first, music is first, mm-hmm. everything mm-hmm. is first. And when you were mentioning that Abderrahman was is a kind of, and I think that's just his natural, mm-hmm. that's just his character. Mm-hmm. He doesn't like to put himself forward. So there is this modesty, and the same modesty you also see in his films, mm-hmm. because when he say, for instance, in your film, that he never aimed at getting big budgets. Mm-hmm. For his films. I mean, it's a translation of this kind of, you know, measure, yes. and going to the essential, which I think you translated quite well.
And also, remember, he was at GIC in the 80s, and the 80s was a period that economically was tough, like even like to get the celluloid and to get like, how you say, pellicule, like for pictures. It was really, really restricted. That's what I was told. And so, yeah, you don't shoot just for the sake of shooting. You're not a spoiled child. You don't do it just because you can. You do it because you need, because you must. And that is a kind of motto for him. But also, I must say that he was almost fired from GIC, you know. If Khoutsiev wasn't there, hadn't been there, who was his master, they would have fired Abderrahman. He would not, for example, do the exercise each end of the year. You're supposed to give a short film of this, short film of that. He never did it. He only did his graduation film, The Game, that you can watch tonight, which he shot in Tajikistan to play Western Sahara, because he didn't have the money to go all the way there to shoot. But they didn't consider him really as a serious enough student. And it's this love between Khoutsiev and him, and this trust, that gave him the courage to finish his studies. And then he stayed in Russia, USSR, for a few years, because he thought, if I come back right after my degree, what am I going to do? He couldn't go back to Mali because of political reason. I mean, until Moussa Traoré was destitute, he couldn't go back to Mali. And if he went to Mauritania, what was there? Was there a cinema industry? Was there a film industry? Were there any production companies? Even the newsreel were made by Michel Brunet for the French cooperation. There was no job for him. So he thought, let me stay in Moscow, make a short, and then we will see. But I don't come back home with bare hands, empty hands, being jobless. There were also other Mauritanian students, as you know, at GIC, who never became filmmakers after that. And also, one of his brothers that you see in the sequence where they all look at pictures, Hamidou, was in USSR a few years before him. And his brother, Sherif, which he talks about in the movie, was a student at GIC. So there's a whole very personal and emotional story to that path.
Your film is far. I mean, of course, we are sort of focusing on the history about the time in Russia. But your film, I mean, covers as he said, beyond territories. I mean, the title for me is a bit confusing because it's, for me, as I was seeing the film for the first time, it's really within Abderrahman's territories. It doesn't really go beyond that. Maybe beyond in a kind of a philosophical sense, as in terms of thinking larger than one's own world. But the film really touches all the territories of his filmmaking, and I'm very happy to have seen again sequences of my favorite film of his, which is La Vie sur Terre, and in that specific film, which is where I think a lot of people came to understand his poetry, because his filmmaking is so much about poetry and the play within poetry and light somehow. Is that something that you discussed, or is that something that you see in his work or not?
Yeah, of course I see it. But first, to get back to the title, I think, Aimé Césaire, Édouard Glissant, Abderrahman, and us, some of us, we are really... keen on thinking in this double movement of local and global cultural specific identities and mondialité, as Edouard Glissant defined it, and so yes, there is this China-Africa territory that can exist through a film, through editing, and through our belief. And that territory is something that is also guiding us in the way we want to enter into relation with people, and which means that we take into consideration the pain and the conflict, but we don't restrict our self-definition to that essentiality, basically. And about poetry and light, yes, of course, but I see also the political dimension of life on Earth. Abderrahman did this first feature film in the land of his father, in Sokolo, this second feature film in the land of his mother, and then did a third feature film in a more macro scale, which is addressing south, north, or west, south, call it what you want, relationship, and then you can move on. But that was his anti-colonial basic testimony to say, where do I speak from? And whatever I'm going to tell you, whatever you can interpret, comes from that particular place that sees from that particular perspective and angle. And then, yes, poetry, light, because he wants to communicate.
He wants to touch people, and that you can only touch people by telling the story from your own point, and mm-hmm. kind of from out of yourself,
which you is know? Also aesthetic, exactly. Of course. Mm.
I mean, we can go on, Valérie and I can go on like that and talk about Abderrahman. We are both huge fans. So, but I think that we should give you the opportunity and possibility to step into the conversation. If you have questions or opinions, comments, don't be shy. No, you need it because of
How did the project start? How was it initiated?
I wrote Abderrahman before all the success of Timbuktu, before it was released or awarded or anything. And I think that's where the trust came from also, because there's a political ground that is in agreement, and then it took years to to get a green light. And then when I could finally, because I made a lot of films, not a lot, but my movies without any budget. And I didn't want to approach Abderrahman like this. Not like, okay, let's do a video next week. You know, I wanted to find the means to pay him the regards and esteem I think he deserves. And that's why it took time. And then when finally we got some budgets, it was a complete different story because he had done Timbuktu and invited everywhere. And so, you know, he didn't have so much disponibility in terms of timing. So we shot that very quick, like, I think we had 10 days together. And the last day in China, also that's why I wanted to shoot in different places. I think all of us, depending on where we are, a different part of us gets alive or sensitive. And when we were in China was the best part. And so
why?
Because we were not in his place, not in my place, not in his friend's place, not in his past place. There was something that we were both new there, you know, and we were both foreigner there. So
like virgin territory.
Not virgin.
For both of you.
Yeah, because it's very ancient territory in terms of civilization. But yeah, it brought a different relationship between us. And I gave back the equipment because you cannot enter China with a camera. It's a bit complicated. And just when I gave back the camera, finally we had a great time, you know. And we shared a bottle of wine. And I'm like, I should start the film now. And even when we did the screening, you say, okay, now that the film is finished, we can have some time together.
Yeah. Elena?
Like kind of a stylistic question, but also a very point of fact question. So there's going to be two. So the first one, I noticed you have a lot of screens in the film, and I really enjoyed that, how you have an interview, but then also something's happening on TV, and then the final one of the last scenes is about kids watching television. I'm wondering if you can say more about that decision, about your aesthetic decision, and then the point of fact question. The Skype list of contacts that has Tarkovsky and Rossellini. Yeah. So, who thought of that, and whose joke is it? Was it there, or did you guys come up with it for the movie?
You know, when you write a documentary, then you don't shoot what you wrote, but there is some. I don't know how to say trasqua.
Traces,
you know, and initially I wanted to have Andre Rublev, La Strada, and all the others, Ali, I don't know the name exactly in English, Tous les autres s'appellent Ali, Fassbinder's film, quoted in the film, and I wanted to have some filmmakers in my film interacting with Abderrahman. I had invited Elia Suleiman to talk about exile, Haile Gerima to talk about what is it to make film with the money of your enemy, basically, and being a black filmmaker, and Tony Gatliff. And all that didn't work, the invitation of the other filmmakers in the courtyard. And but still, there was the idea of being a part of that chain of history of cinema. So it was my own way to translate and transmit this. Yes. And in fact, quoting other movies didn't make any sense when I was making the movie, actually. I thought it would be really superfluous. And the screens in the screen base is a bit the same idea. And also, I mean, Scorsese is there, but he's an expert amongst others. He's not more an expert than a policeman from Bamako who loves Abderrahman cinema. So that was a way also to have him in the courtyard without him physically take a plane.